Today we have a challenging gospel. It might even be a discouraging section of the gospel, but it's put together with a very positive first reading, again from Romans chapter 8. If you ever feel depressed or discouraged, just read Romans chapter 8. It's just a beautiful declaration of God being on our side and wanting us to be glorified. But let's start with the gospel. Someone asks Jesus the question about salvation. Will only a few people be saved? Now, it's actually not a very good question, even though we're curious about that. It's not a good question because the answer won't help us. What if Jesus said, oh yeah, a lot will be saved? We will still be wondering, are we going to be included among those who are saved? And if he said, no, only a few, we would still be wondering, are we among the few? The question isn't, will only a few people be saved, but how can we be saved? How can I be saved? That's what we really want to know. Maybe the questioner was afraid to be that direct. And Jesus' answer is not very encouraging. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. He's really laying a challenge before us. This question about passing through the gate, about entering or not entering, comes up a lot in the Gospels. And it's important that it comes up because there really is a very clear distinction between being outside and being inside. Not too long ago, in modern times, there was a trend among philosophers and social critics that said something to the effect of, well, there shouldn't be boundaries. There shouldn't be this clear distinction like that. It's very rigid. And so people started to try to impose a kind of universal relativity on everything. There's no such thing as absolute in and absolute out, good, bad, even male, female. It's all fluid. Fluidity, relativity. Of course, there's something to that. There are some gray areas in lots of things, but there's also clear distinction between inside and outside. And Jesus refers to it very often. He often speaks about gates and about households and kingdoms. I thought of that parable of the 10 virgins, right? Five of them are wise and five are foolish. Five are welcomed into the wedding banquet and five are kicked out to wail and grind their teeth. And that's Jesus' own words. So there's clear distinction between in and out. And Jesus even gave to Peter the keys to the kingdom. That makes no sense to have keys if there's no boundary. If everything's fluid and anyone can go wherever he wants, what good are keys? No, keys means there are locks. Locks means that there's gates or doors or entrances. You might remember a year or two ago when we had before we revised our gate here, it used to be that the gate had a sliding bolt and you could reach through the bars and open the gate from the outside. It was easy to get in and out. Then when we made the revision, there was a panel and the new lock was a bolt and you couldn't reach it from the outside. So if anyone happened to lock the gate from the inside and you were outside, you couldn't get in. And I found myself locked out several times. I had to climb over the fence. So, now, it's fine if you're inside and you don't want people from outside to get in. It's good to lock your gate. But if it's your own house and you're locked out, it's not very nice. And I'm getting a little older, so it's harder for me to climb over the fence than it was 20 years ago. Not only that, I shouldn't have to climb over the fence. I live here. So, the revision of that gate was very clever. Someone, I don't know who actually designed this, but in the panel they made a little like trap door. You wouldn't know it from outside, but if you push on that, you can reach through and open the lock, which is very good, so that you don't have to climb over. If anyone ever gets locked out, that's how you get in. Okay, well, so I'm just reflecting on gates and being outside and being inside. Now, what Jesus makes clear here is that from outside, it's difficult to get in. And you can't climb over the fence. You have to strive to enter through a narrow gate. And that's what's intimidating to us and challenging, even frightening. He says, it's possible that you could be standing at the door, knocking, and the master will say, well, I don't know where you're from. So from the outside, it's not obvious that it's easy to get in or even possible. But from inside, where the Lord is, it looks completely different. It doesn't look narrow at all. He wants everyone to come in if they will but come in. You could go back to that parable about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The groom actually wanted all of them to come in, but five of them ran out of oil. It was their own fault. What could he do? They ran off to get oil from someplace, and they weren't ready to enter when the time came. Okay, so I want to put together this challenge, this narrowness of the gate, which is certainly how it appears to us because of our weakness, because of our sin. Jesus says many will attempt to enter and not be strong enough. I'm not strong enough to climb over the fence. I'm not strong enough to get through that little hole. I can't make it. That's pretty discouraging. But we put this together with today's first reading, as I said, Romans chapter 8, which is the answer to this problem that we have. Well, if we're not strong enough, what does Paul say? The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. God knows we're weak. God knows we can't make it through the narrow door. God knows that on our own we can't climb in. So the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. We don't even know how to pray, much less enter through the narrow gate. What can we do? We rely on God. We rely on the Holy Spirit. We rely on what God provides for our salvation. We're not supposed to save ourselves. We can't. We are supposed to cooperate with the saving grace of God. We are supposed to have our lamps lit, and we're supposed to have a supply of oil. That is our responsibility. But we don't force ourselves into the wedding banquet. We have to be invited in. The door has to be opened for us. And that's what God does. He plants His own Spirit in our hearts. He dwells within us, if we allow Him, and makes it possible for us to transcend ourselves, to go beyond this world. Very beautiful how St. Paul says this. We know that all things work for good for those who love God. How is that possible that all things work for good? Because God is the one who's working things for good, not us. You think we can make all things good? We can't. We can hardly get through a day. And look at the mess we make of the world. It's obvious that if it's based on us, not everything is working out for good. But if we rely on God, if we love God, if we depend on God, if we trust in God, then He makes all things work for good, including the mess that we make. He turns it to our good. Humbles us, purifies us, makes us small so we can enter through the narrow gate. And then Paul concludes this section of Romans 8 with this progression that comes from God. And all those whom He foreknew, He predestined. Well, God had in mind from the beginning our glorification. Predestined, conformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to be part of the family. He called, He justified, He glorified. As if, Paul is saying, as if this is already completed, as if we're already in heaven. Because in God's mind, and God is outside of time, we are already in heaven. In Jesus, we are already glorified. That's why we put our trust in Him and not in ourselves. Because in ourselves, we're not glorified. And we're not strong enough or wise enough to get through the narrow gate. But in Christ, all things are possible, and all things work out for good. This was the wisdom of Saint Therese, Saint Therese of Therese. She knew she was weak. She knew she was little. She had absolute confidence in God. Didn't even matter that she was weak. In fact, it's almost better to be weak, because then God has to do it. This is the psalm response we just prayed. My hope, O Lord, is in your mercy. My hope, O Lord, is in your mercy. We put our trust in God, not in ourselves, but we do everything we can on our part to cooperate with God's grace so that he can save us, that he can justify us, he can glorify us.